We're live.
Good evening, boys and girls. Seeing as this is a nighttime program, I thought we'd start off with a little bedtime story. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. I sat with my laptop. I felt very bored. Track notifications sat sadly ignored. Too tired for a bug hunt, I had run out of steam. So I sat and I stared at my lame Twitter stream. And all I could do was to sit, 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 sit. And I did not like it, not one little bit. And then something went bump. How that bump made me jump. I looked and I saw them stick into my pad. I looked and I saw them, the Dre and the Brad. And Dre said to me, "Why are you looking so sad? I know that you're sick of these lame bug reports. Let me entertain with some fun WordPress sports. I have some pen tests we can run," Dre began. "I know some exploits," said the Dre to the Brad. "A lot of exploits. I will show them to you. Mark Jakewith will not mind at all if I do." Before I could gather a moment to think, Brad took out a flask and he forced me to drink. Then Brad said, "We'll find the enjoyment you seek. First, work toward the balance we call Balmer Peak. Then, grep through your code base while seeking out places where lines aren't indented with tabs but with spaces. Let's criticize sites that don't work well on mobile and data unescaped from the post-superglobal." Dre started to giggle and slowly intoned, "I love finding ways for your site to get pwned. There's XSS due to bad sanitization. There's SQL injection, privilege escalation, and Base64 encode obfuscation." Dre stuck out a hand with an unopened beer. I opened and drank and quivered with fear. And then Brad ran out. And then, fast as a fox, William's VA came back in with a box. A big red wood box. WordPress logo on top. "Now look at this trick," said the Brad. "Open up." Dre opened the box, and out came a mic. "Come be on our podcast tonight if you like. We'll talk BuddyPress, and beyond that, who knows? It may not be Santan, but it comes pretty close." I was handed the mic, and I said with a bow, "My name is Boone Gurgis. The Dradcast starts now."
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
You just drop the mic. Drop the mic. That's a wrap. That doesn't get any better than that. Holy shit. I don't know what just happened, but it was amazeballs.
The show is going down from here. That's all I know.
I don't think it can get any better,
right? So it's...
How the hell are you, Brad?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm really good. I had a great week. Really excited. A lot of cool stuff going on. It's spring. It's still cold as hell, but it's spring, so that's a start.
I'm still mind blown. That was pretty sick. Well, you know, cut the chitter chatter out. Boone, I don't know what just happened, but I love you.
Thank you, everybody.
That was a Boone shakalaka.
Boone shakalaka. That was nothing short of brilliant, my friend.
That was amazing.
He's already sipping, man. Let's just move.
Sorry. Oh, my bad. I didn't know the rules.
No.
There's a whole lot of like us forcing you to drink in that intro, and then he's the one over there.
Yeah.
They're drinking already, so.
Oh, man. I think
might as well find out what you're drinking over there.
Hey, what you sipping on?
So it would appear that I am not drinking alone tonight, unless you have water in that bottle, Boone. So what do you got going on over there? What are you drinking?
That's a Brooklyn Lager.
Sipping on.
Represent.
Represent. Nice. Very nice. Dre, do I even have to ask?
No. Hey, well, we're going to call it vodka.
A big old mug of vodka. That looks delicious. You are as hardcore as you look. I had to class it up, man. We got Boone France on the podcast tonight. So, King of the Netherlands. I got a little Johnny Walker Black here. Sorry, I didn't want to make you jealous, Dre, but I had to do it. So, there is that. So, let's get right into it, man, because I want to learn all about Mr. Boone. So tell us all about yourself, Boone.
Do I have to do it in a iambic pentameter?
I expect it to rhyme too, so. No, let's go back. So during one of these interviews, we like to kind of get a sense. You've been in the WordPress world for a while. You're also very, very much in the BuddyPress world, which we'll get into. But we like to kind of go way back to where you got into just. You're a developer, but did you start out that way? Like, how did you actually get into the technology sides of websites? Did you start a developer, and if so, how did you get into that?
Well, I guess the real beginnings of that, I was kind of a dorky kid. I grew up in the 90s with Prodigy and AOL back when they sent the CDs for 40 hours free. Used to tie up the modem, calling into my local AOL ISP provider. I used to mess around. I had a members.aol.com homepage, and it's all hand-coded, had some sweet, you know, I was part of some web rings, you know, the whole nine yards. It's stored somewhere at archive.org. I don't actually like to... I'm not ashamed about much, but I don't really give that link out freely.
See, I was rocking some GeoCities, but yeah, it's similar.
Ooh, that's hot stuff. I mean, I got to tell you, GeoCities. So I was kind of into... You know, I knew a little bit of HTML, this kind of stuff. Went to college. I was in the humanities. You know, I majored in French and Russian and philosophy. Went to grad school for philosophy. So I was doing totally other stuff. And then in the process of writing my dissertation, I had a fellowship that sort of gave me an opportunity to use some of these latent skills that I had in simple stuff like knowing how to write CSS, things like that. I got an opportunity to work on a couple of sites for some friends who just needed a little bit of casual help. Eventually, some money became involved, so I sort of got involved. It so happened they were working with WordPress, so it was sort of totally by accident. You know, I didn't really have any background in real development stuff. This is around 2009. They were using WordPress, so that's kind of what I used. The project that I was working on was called the CUNY Academic Commons, and there was a couple of requests for new functionality. It was just sort of thrown up at the time. BuddyPress was in beta, and BuddyPress was put on the site. There were some requests for customization, and I didn't know the first thing about really any programming language. Much less PHP or WordPress. So I just started cracking open the hood and seeing how things were built and started building things in plugins and contributing to WordPress. At the time, I was, like I said, a graduate student. And then for a while, I was an educational technologist. I worked at Queens College for a couple of years, which is part of the City University of New York system. And I did things like I helped professors sort of integrate blogging into the classroom. They were using movable type at the time. So I did a lot of curricular stuff with blogs, but not a lot of technical stuff. But after I sort of got into this, you know, the evenings I was doing this development stuff, I started actually making more money doing that at nights, and I was enjoying myself more than I was, you know, at my day job. So I quit my job in 2010, I guess it was, and I started doing the consulting thing full-time, and here I am, king of the world, baby.
You know, I love how people in the WordPress world always say 2010 or 2011. It's never like 2010, 2010. It's like always, but I don't know if it's just we don't think about it and that happens, or maybe you've always said it that way, but I feel like a lot of people in this community will always say 2010, 2011 instead of 2010, 2011. Not that
well,
that's
it's actually
wrong.
It's my belief that this is a major service that WordPress is performing to the world at large. Because, like, when you think about how are people going to say this year, let's say in 50 years, they're not going to look back and say 2014. They're just not going to do it. I mean, because it doesn't roll off the tongue. It doesn't have any rhythm to it. So I think WordPress is just being progressive on this point. And the fact that they've named their, they've actually spelled it out in the theme names, I feel like is a real stand. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like principled stands that WordPress takes that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's one of them. That it should be pronounced 2012, 2013.
The democratization of year pronunciation.
not democratization. It's totally like top-down elitism. This is the right way to do it. I think that's great. I mean, there's some things that are right and some things that are wrong. And you know, kudos to the team.
That's funny. That's really funny. So you got it. So you're in WordPress, and you also you mentioned kind of working at CUNY. So you've had quite a history in the educational sector, and that's kind of where I think we initially met or overlapped in that area. And you're really well known for that. So tell us a little about that, like how that kind of blossomed from where you started to where you're at today, as far as the educational sector side of things.
Yeah, totally. Like I said, I was an academic. I was writing a dissertation. I was in graduate school. I was teaching a lot. So I was teaching, you know, introductory ethics classes, intro to philosophy classes. I was always interested in pedagogy, in the sort of the science and the study of teaching, you know, how to be a better teacher. I started using daily writing assignments. Actually, I had an instructor as a graduate student in a graduate seminar who would have us every week write up these like 200 or 300 word documents, and we would send them to him, which is totally corny and like not really, you know, there's a lot of ways that's not great. But what was great about it is just the sort of short form writing as a way of just getting things out. Instead of what's common in grad school is that at the end of the semester you write a 25-page paper and that's kind of your whole grade for the course. So I really like the idea of these short writing assignments. So when I started teaching classes, I wanted to do this too, but I wanted to do it in a way that didn't involve me getting 35 or 70 Word documents in my inbox every week. So I turned to blogs. I mean, this is 2005, maybe 2006. I mean, I didn't know a lot about the world of blogging. I had a couple of friends throughout the CUNY system who had used WordPress for various purposes. WordPress.com was up and running at the time. So there was one semester I decided I was going to have my students go on WordPress.com and have them start blogging. The idea was that these would be short assignments. They would be low stakes. I'd say, you know, this week we're talking about, you know, Kant and the categorical imperative. You know, these sort of heavy philosophical topics. And then I'd give them a prompt. They would write, and then they would comment on each other's work. I'd organize them into small groups so that, you know, Brad would be in a group with 3 or 4 other students. Dre would be in another group with 3 or 4 other students. They'd be responsible for reading each other's work, leaving comments, you know, coming up with new ideas, stuff like that. So it worked really well. And when it turned out that when I turned around and got these fellowships to like help faculty members in classrooms, I started bringing some of this teaching experience that I'd had and sort of pushing some of these same techniques with getting students actually reading each other's work. Blogs are really perfect for this. I mean, this is really what it was all about. It was having this kind of public, or at least a pseudo-public place. You know, students could use pseudonyms, and it's not like these things were being broadcast at the top of the New York Times, right? But I mean, they were technically public, and occasionally they would get other readers outside the class. So there's a lot of benefits to that. So I started pushing this on faculty members. I got a lot of uptake. I got a lot of really good feedback. And when I started up my gig as an educational technologist, I mean, this is kind of my whole thing. Now, how this turned to WordPress in particular, and this is something that really became more important to me as I started working more in the university, not just being a student, but actually working at the university, is that, you know, WordPress is free software. So that's free as in speech, free as in beer. And, you know...
Beer.
This, well, beer, don't get me started on that. That'll be the next conversation. So CUNY is this huge system, right? I was a pretty privileged kid growing up. You know, I had a computer in my house. I had AOL, that kind of stuff. I went to a private undergraduate institution. Then I came to CUNY. CUNY is huge. It's got 28 campuses. It's got, depending on how you count, it's got 300,000, 400,000 students. It's enormous. And it is the students here are amazing. I mean, you can imagine, think about New York City, right? Think about the kinds of people that are here. You know, I'd have classes here at CUNY where, you know, out of 30 kids, 25 of them would be non-traditional age. Maybe they'd be in their mid-20s or in their 30s. A lot of them would be first-generation English speakers. Maybe they would be supporting their parents who couldn't get good jobs because they didn't speak a word of English. These are people who would toil hard night and day. I mean, it's an amazing cross-section of New York City and really the country. I mean, it's an amazing place to be. CUNY is really great. Totally different from the white bread place where I went to school. But CUNY is also, at the same time, it's like, I mean, it's a public university. They don't have a ton of money. These students don't have money. I mean, CUNY's cheap, relatively speaking. You can go as a full-time student for $3,000 or $4,000 a semester. But for these students who are working full-time, you know, that's a lot of money, and this is their hard-earned money. We're not talking about, they're not going on some scholarship. They're not going because they got some rich parents. They're working hard for this money. Mm-hmm. So where this starts to dovetail with WordPress then is that I'm out there pushing these sort of pedagogies, you know, students should be out there blogging. They should be using these tools to communicate with each other. But we should be doing this in a way that, so that we're really being responsible stewards of our students' resources. You know, students pay this tuition money. CUNY as a unit pays these totally obscene amounts of money to software vendors every year, to Microsoft, to Blackboard, to these huge corporations, these huge amounts of money. It'd be one thing if it was just taxpayer money, but it's not. It's student money. It's money that they worked hard for. And that just makes me sick to my core, right? So WordPress is a way not only to like promote good learning in classrooms and good communication between students and faculty, but it's a way to do it that actually doesn't cost a ton of their money. And the money that you do spend on something like WordPress, you spend on people instead of spending it on software licenses. I mean, it's not free to run a WordPress installation. It's not free. It costs money. But the money goes into hiring somebody who will take care of the installation at your school or somebody who's going to come in and do some customizations on plugins and themes for you. It's a different way of spending money instead of just writing a single check to a big invoice that is sent to you every year by Microsoft.
Actually adding value or advancing its capabilities for further use within that organization, right? So, I mean, there's added value to spending on that because you're reaching an audience with things that ultimately you're not going to get out of some of those proprietary solutions.
Well, not only that, but you're putting money into actually building the software itself. I mean, WordPress Absolutely. Is a sort of foundation, but the fact that it's modular and the fact that it's free, as in speech, means that you're able to do new things with it. When you pay a license fee to Microsoft, you get their product, and if you don't like it, you know, tough shit, right? You just use what they give you. With WordPress, you can actually, the value you're adding comes in the form not just of the value that it brings you as a standalone product, but because you're putting money into customizing it for your specific uses. And then, ideally, and this is where I've really had good success at CUNY, you're taking the customizations that you do internally, and then you're turning them back outward for the greater good. So,
did that with a project, right? So yeah, you worked with CUNY to do the Commons in a Box, which was really, really interesting. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about that, if they're not familiar?
Yeah, sure. So Commons in a Box is, let me back up for a second. Mm-hmm. So the first and biggest project that I worked on when I started doing this is called the CUNY Academic Commons. So as I said, CUNY is this huge institution. It's 28 campuses, and but all the campuses are separate. They have separate histories. CUNY only became like a federated system in the 60s. So you might have somebody at Queens College who's studying some specific thing. Let's say, you know, the use of color in Milton or something, you know, really specific. And then you might have someone at Bronx Community College who's studying the exact same thing. But because of the nature of CUNY, they might never know about each other. So the whole idea behind the CUNY Academic Commons was to make connections between these universities, to actually set up a space where people from all different CUNYs could come in and say, here's what I'm working on, here's the kinds of people I want to meet, and then to give the tools so they could actually work together. So we built this site. We spent a long time putting money into it and putting development time into it. We built custom features and plugins that we kept sort of putting out publicly. But even with all of these like plugins that we were putting out there and all of these freely available tools that we were building, there was still a lot of work involved in reproducing what we had. We had universities from all over the world coming to us and saying, we love what you've done. We see a need for this in our own community. How do we do it? Well, my answer was a 10-page Word document saying, first install WordPress, then find this plugin, then install these widgets. Just to a point where you can even try this product. I mean, it was I think we're also used to sort of setting up WordPress, and we all have our little tools for like getting up and running real fast that we take for granted certain aspects about the setup process. But really, if you want to set up something that's really robust for community use, that's a long time to go from zero to something that's actually functional. So the idea behind Commons in a Box, we got some grant money from the Mellon Foundation, was to take some of the infrastructure that we had built, some of these plugins that we built, the theme that we had built, and some of the particular settings that we found really useful for our community, and then to turn that into a single package that was basically turnkey. So instead of having to go out there and search the plugin repo for this plugin, then this one, then make sure you activated them in the right order, then making sure that you activated BuddyPress groups, but not this component, and this and that and the other thing. Instead, it would be one single plugin. You download it, you install it. We suck down all the plugins that we need. We check against the white list of versions that we know are going to work well with each other because, you know, sometimes plugins that are dependent on each other, if you upgrade one, the other one breaks. So, and then we give you a theme that works really seamlessly along with the rest of them. That's Commons in a Box. It is BuddyPress, and it uses about 10 or 12 BuddyPress plugins and a theme that we built based on the Infinity framework done by Boa Frankema and Marshall Sorensen. And we built it... We basically put this wrapper around it, this Commons in a Box wrapper that handles a lot of the plugin dependency stuff and it handles a lot of the installation stuff. So you press one button, everything's installed. For 5 minutes, you have a working community site with BuddyPress and a set of curated recommended plugins. So this, I mean, look, for a lot of our audience, a lot of the people listening right now are WordPress professionals. Commons in a Box doesn't actually do anything that you couldn't do yourself. What it does do is it allows Joe Schmo, who is teaching at some school in Podunk, Iowa. I can say that because I went to school in Iowa. So in Podunk, Iowa, I mean, he's by himself at an office. He's just got an afternoon to mess around with WordPress. He doesn't have the time to learn about every single plugin under the sun. Frankly, most people don't care, right? They just want to get up and running. Commons in a Box lets them do that. They don't have to waste a lot of time researching what BuddyPress is and how it works. They turn it on. And in 5 or 10 minutes, they have a site that they can start showing to their stakeholders, and then they can. And then that's when the wheels really start turning. Once they have like a functional prototype. And
folks, if this is something that may fit some of your audience, you can go check it out at commonsinabox.org. It was actually reviewed in February by the Journal of Digital Humanities. I think you guys are running 1.0.7 now, which is all the way up to 3.8x, and rolled out support for BuddyPress 1.9.x. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So we're constantly working on this. We're working on new iterations all the time. We got some possible funding prospects in the works. We originally developed this for people like, for organizations like CUNY that really needed a tool for communication between scholars. That was a really specific goal. But we're finding that all sorts of people are using it. You know, people are using it for classroom use, but like nonprofits have been using it a lot. We're finding people, even like there's one makerspace group of makers, like people who, you know, like have like 3D printers, who have like formed a community using Commons in a Box. It was an easy way for them to get up and running. So we built it with scholarly communities in mind, and some of the tools that we include are really along those lines. But I mean, this is really a great way to sort of get to a minimum viable product for really a whole bunch of different kinds of community sites. So definitely check it out. But it's something I'm really proud of. I mean, to go back to you guys had such a lovely segue before. To go back to that segue, this is really, to me, this is what it's all about, right? We built this thing for CUNY, and it cost CUNY money. I mean, CUNY ponied up, you know, however many, you know, $100,000, $200,000, whatever it was over the course of a couple of years to pay people and to get release time and this and that in order to build this site. Mellon is a private foundation. They fund interesting science and technology and education projects. They saw it and said, let's make this better. Let's make it useful for other people. We were able, with those two sets of resources, to build something based on WordPress and BuddyPress that then these other people can use and really lowers the barrier of entry to these sorts of communities for people everywhere. That really, that's what it's all about for me, because it goes back to my whole thing about, you know, putting tools in people's hands that gives them the power to do what they want to do without being at the mercy of these corporations where you got to write licensing checks every year. So now, you know, if some school, some community college somewhere can set up a site using BuddyPress and WordPress and not have to do it on Facebook, that's a victory, right? If they don't have to pay Microsoft for their services, that's a victory right there, right? It puts them in control of their stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with those companies. I mean, it's fine. But when we're talking about public money, we're talking about student money, we're talking about public student or student private data, that kind of stuff, it's important that, you know, universities have options. So I feel really good about the work that we've been doing in that sense. And
it's like a win-win-win all around. That's amazing. I mean, anytime you can do something like that and give it, like you said, kind of build it up, give back to the community, get more people involved, save funds, I mean, that's amazing. So definitely hats off for that.
How could people get involved or help, you know, maybe raise awareness around this? Because I think comments in a box is a huge win. And like you said, Brad, win-win-win for everybody really involved. Yeah. How can folks try to help move that forward with you?
Well, it depends who you are. The first thing you can do is just use it. I mean, if you are, let's say, I don't know who's listening right now, but I mean, if you're an educator, obviously,
everybody, the kind of
thing that you can install, everybody in the universe is listening. So let me put it on the list. So educators, go out there and use it. I mean, it's cool. The stakes are so low that you can like really play around and set up. You can set up little communities, little experiments that otherwise you wouldn't have time to do. Just using it is a huge win for us. If you are a designer or a developer and you're using it and you find issues with it, we have GitHub repositories, and I'm happy to give you the links later so you can post them in show notes.
Absolutely.
You're welcome to contribute back. Comments in a Box is actually, it's a wrapper for a whole suite of plugins.
Mm-hmm.
If you know of another plugin that you think would be worthy of Comments in a Box, you know, it would work well with our tools, feel free to talk to me about it. That's the kind of thing that we could include. But really, more than just, this isn't really about Comments in a Box. This is about, you know, something that, you know, people who are interested in WordPress are probably already interested in anyway, which is, you know, promoting the use of free software tools.
Absolutely.
Especially with vulnerable communities like public institutions. I mean, it's really governments and education are these huge sitting ducks for big buck contractors, you know? So if you can, like, step in with free software tools and actually put some power back in the hands of these organizations, you're doing a lot of good for the world. So that's really what I urge people to do.
Yeah, that's... Man, that's even better than your damn intro, and I thought that'd be hard.
You're doing some good stuff, Boone, for sure. That's awesome.
Wow, I want to cry, to be quite frank. But before we do that, Brad, why don't we move on to pressing topics of the week?
Word. Pressing topics of the week.
Listen, we talked a little bit about BuddyPress there and some of the things that you're doing and have built around something really social, something really awesome. And there's a couple things going on with BuddyPress right now. BuddyPress 2.0 developments. So yap about that a little bit. That sounds fun to me.
Yeah, so big release coming up. You know, they say 2 is just a number, but you know, it's such a magical number. We've been on a good tear lately. We've been putting out roughly three releases a year for the past 2 years or so, and this one's going to be really great. Some really cool things going into it. One thing that's going to be really exciting for people who are running big BuddyPress sites is that we're building some new administration tools that are really going to help you. So one of them is a new signups management screen. So if you've ever worked with a big WordPress multi-site installation with open registration, you know that there's a WP signups table, and people register, and these things get caught in the ether, and they registered, and they don't know if they registered, and people lost the registration email. How do we auto-register them? Where did my key go? All this kind of stuff. So, I mean, in my opinion, this is a problem that should be fixed in WordPress, but, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, but BuddyPress, we're fixing this on our own. There's a whole new system built in. Whether you're running multi-site or not, when you install BuddyPress 2.0, if you have registration turned on, you're going to see a new panel on your users screen that shows you all of the users who have registered. It's going to allow you to resend activation emails in bulk if you'd like to. It's going to allow you to manually register users or manually activate pending registrations if you don't even want to go through the trouble of resending activation emails. Really a killer tool for people who are working with these large installations. So that's one. Another administration tool that we've built is we've moved a lot of the we've built the ability to edit user profiles in the back end for administrators. So in the past couple of versions of BuddyPress, we've been building tools for editing activity in the dashboard, as well as editing group details in the dashboard. And so we're moving it to user profiles in version 2.0. You are able to, you know, if Brad puts a lot of obscenities in his profile, you know, pictures of wieners, you know, stuff like that, I can go in and I can
definitely Brad.
I can go in and edit that. I can manage all that stuff from a single screen. I don't have to worry about going through the front end and kind of like using these skeleton key plugins, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I have a really professional looking way to manage all this stuff right inside the native WordPress dashboard. So another really great feature for people who are running big sites. So that's one kind of class of things that we're working on. Another one that's close to my heart that has been it's been the main focus of my work is performance. So BuddyPress is, you know, in a lot of ways, it's this kind of weird legacy system because it was built with really specific purposes originally, and it was sort of just built to get up and running, and then performance was sort of a secondary or tertiary or quadtertiary concern. we're going back and rectifying those things, but we have gone through and done a complete sweep of persistent object caching for this round. So if you're running Memcached or you're running APC or any other sort of persistent caching backend, you're going to see reductions, query reductions on a single page of 75-85%. I'm going to be publishing benchmarks really soon. The numbers are really huge. Even if you're not, I've done a bunch of refactoring of some of the kinds of queries. Just to give you a sort of geeky example, BuddyPress uses a piece of user meta called LastActivity. We use this all over the place. So if you go into a user directory in a BuddyPress site, you'll see Boon Gurgis, last active 20 minutes ago. So we store that information somewhere so we can build those strings. And we use that information everywhere because all over the place in BuddyPress, we sort by activity. We'll say, you know, we'll sort users and the most recently active users will show up at the top of the list. The problem is that from the very beginning, this information had been stored in the user meta table. And the user meta table on a large site gets super huge super fast. I mean, I've seen user meta tables on sites that only have a few thousand users that are millions of rows. And these are key value tables that are unindexed, and they're not really, they're strings. And here we are sorting by date values. I mean, it's really a bad situation. So we'd have situations where, you know, a site would have, let's say, 50,000 users. They'd try to load up the fourth page of their members, and the SQL query would take 30 seconds, right? So it's not acceptable. So that's been totally refactored for this time around. We have, some of those queries they've sped up by several orders of magnitude. We're talking about 30 seconds down to 3 milliseconds. So that really proud of that. It's going to be a really huge thing. I mean, we've done similar sorts of refactoring for the activity stream, so certain sorts of activity items are going to be way, way, way faster to pull up, even if you're not running object caching. There are really huge... I can't wait to write up all the benchmarks because there's five or six different places where the gains are just going to be huge. I think people who install BuddyPress 2.0, when they upgrade from 1.9, are just going to recognize right away how snappy it is. It's really going to improve user experience. So really pumped about that. It's going to be the best. I think this version is going to represent the biggest jump in performance that we've had since the project started. So excited about that.
What's going on with these little balloons on the BuddyPress logo?
I know. I just saw that. I feel like there's a little something going on in it.
I mean, it's BuddyPress is about celebration. It's a celebration of social.
We're having a
celebration of each other.
It's a party. Now, that's exciting. I mean, you know, I like you said, 2.0 is just a number, but it's a number that it's an important number. It's a milestone. 2.0, the project, really in the last few releases of BuddyPress, we do a lot of BuddyPress work. The last, you know, 3-4 releases, it felt like it's maturing quite a bit. Like you said, a lot more admin side features, which a lot of people need. And as you're getting these larger networks, you need those features, you know, optimization. I feel like that's such a thankless job for the larger community. It happens on WordPress a lot. You're doing it on BuddyPress. It's amazing. Everyone's going to benefit from it, but it's not one of those visual things, so it's great that you're really highlighting that, and especially when you put out those benchmarks, you can really, you know, we can all definitely have to owe you a beer after we see that, because that sounds amazing. I love BuddyPress.
Six years.
I know. It's
crazy.
It's been around. It's definitely a great project. I mean, it's one of those projects I found that I tell people if they want to get involved in WordPress, getting involved in WordPress at first can be tough. The first time you get involved, you get into track, you look at what should work on. There's so many tickets or patches. I don't know what to do. Maybe I submit a patch and 15 people say it sucks, or not that bad. But you know what I mean? I feel like BuddyPress is a great project to get involved with because you can immediately get involved very quickly and actually have a really big impact, because it's not to say it's any... It's obviously a much smaller project than WordPress. So have you seen the number of people contributing to BuddyPress over the past, I don't know, say year, the past few releases? Is it growing? Are you getting a lot more contributors because of that, or just because it's a cool project in general?
That's a great question. I'd love to. I should go back and run some stats on it. We do have an about page, and we try to like thank all the people who get props in every release. But I haven't actually run any numbers. My sense is that we have a growing group of core of people, not only core contributors meaning committers, but just of people who actually work on a regular basis on the project. I think a year ago it was really four or five people who were regularly contributing code to the core code base. Now I think it's up to, in a given week, it's probably 10 to 15. that's pretty huge. This is a long ongoing project.
That's great.
And so I think I'm really happy about that. And there's always new people coming through. And I mean, that's been one of my, I'm a developer. I'm not a designer, and I'm a developer. And so I feel for developers. When people come in and submit a patch for the first time, I try to be on that shit right away. I mean, I want to give them good feedback. I want to thank them for their work. I want to show them how we do it so they can like submit things the right way the next time. I feel like this is one thing that WordPress has done recently, and Nason's done a really nice job on that. I really admire. I mean, that's, you know, open, showing that we have open doors and open arms. I think it's working. You know, it's a long road. But we added a new committer just a couple months ago. So that's a sign that, you know, this is somebody who got involved in BuddyPress about a year ago, year and a half ago, and quickly ramped himself up and got so involved in it. So it happens, and I think it's headed in the right direction.
It's great to hear. I mean, there was a time where I thought it was actually going to die. I mean, it really kind of got stagnant. And this was a few years back. I mean, it was probably, we say 6 years. I didn't realize it was that long. So this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But there's a time it was a bit stagnant, and I think some interest dropped off, and some of the core people kind of went different ways. But then it really kind of has grown over the last few years, and it's great. It's like I went back to, if you're at a dev day at a WordCamp, and there's always this huge room full of the WordPress people learning how to submit patches or submitting patches they've done it before, working on core. And a given, you know, a contributor day, there might be a few patches that get committed, but generally maybe not a ton. There's always this kind of small group of, you know, four or five like BuddyPress devs, usually at one table. And I tell you, I did this at WordCamp Europe. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to this WordPress thing, and I'm going to get nothing in. Nothing's going to happen like every dev day I go to. I'm going to go play with BuddyPress. And Boone, you sat there with me, and you actually helped me get a patch into core. So I became a core contributor for, I think it was like 1.8 maybe. At the time, yeah. And it was really, really exciting. I mean, it was awesome. And I was like, I probably wouldn't have got something in if I sat down on the WordPress side. So I feel like if you're trying to get into just contributing to an open source project, WordPress is just a really fun project, really great people, and it's really easy to get involved and have a pretty big impact pretty quickly. So
let's talk dates there for a second. So development started in early February for 2.0. Actually, beta 1 was scheduled for today.
Yep. And then, is that working out, Boone? Yeah. Well, we hold you up for beta 1.
No, it's coming this week.
Very good. And you're looking still sometime next mid next month, April 16th, here by the schedule on the blog post for release. So that's pretty exciting news.
Yep. Yeah. We like these snappy dev cycles, and we've been trying to stick to them really well. So
well, that's good.
It's working out great so far. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Open sourcing, buddypress.org. What would be the dilly, yo?
Well, that's been a sort of long time project. You know, buddypress.org is another one of those things where, you know, it was always running BuddyPress because, you know, it's sort of a support community, but it was always hacked together to work with the WordPress.org infrastructure. There's all sorts of complications. It's been being cleaned up little by little over the last couple of years, and I think we just decided it was time to throw open the doors, sort of practice what we preach. So it's really more of a it's largely symbolic, right? I mean, it's the idea that, look, we're an open source project. Now we have open source. The code that runs our site is totally open source. But it's also, you know, we've actually had one or two people who have submitted small CSS things. So it could have some practical benefit, too. So if you're a developer, let's say you don't like our balloons and you want to... you want to make some modifications there, you could submit a patch, and who knows, maybe it'll be accepted. It depends on our mood on that particular day.
I love it. Buddy Press is a celebration. The balloons have to stay now. I thought maybe it was the official birthday or something. It just happened to be today, and there's balloons on it.
No, that's just for fun. I mean, this is, you know, one of the things that happens with these projects as they get really big is that what started off just you do it for fun feels like a job. I'm sure you've experienced this on one level or another with some project, right? Yep. Sometimes it actually becomes your job. But yeah, like, yep. To sort of follow through with what you were saying before, Brad, is that, you know, you go into the WordPress track and, you know, there's inside jokes and this stuff like that, but it's often really intimidating. BuddyPress is fun, man. I mean, we're fun people, you know, we'd like to have a good time, we like to joke around, and, the balloons, I mean, it's all about fun, right? I mean, who doesn't like Chuck E. Cheese's? Or showbiz, will be a mark.
Where a kid can be a kid, my friend.
I was actually, speaking of balloons, I was at Ignite Philly about 2 weeks ago, and they gave a great presentation about these weather balloons they had used to take pictures of whatever, you know, they'd run a balloon up really high and take pictures of the ground, and it was a hilarious presentation. The guy at the very end said, whether you're 4 or 40, who doesn't love a fucking balloon? It was hilarious. I was like, you're right. Who doesn't love a balloon? Everybody loves balloons. It's awesome.
Oh, man.
That's great. Like, so definitely check out BuddyPress.org. Get involved in the project. 2.0 is coming up. So once beta's out, it's going to be a great time to help hunt bugs. In my opinion, is one of the easiest ways to get involved. To help squash bugs. If you can find a bug and tell someone you've contributed, whether you fix the bug or not, you've just contributed by telling someone there's a bug there. So it's a perfect time to do that.
Yeah, and I'll say this is kind of a little bit off topic, but just this is a good time for me to plug it. That I think of myself as the sort of developer outreach person for the BuddyPress team. I build for developers. You know, I build APIs for developers. I build these internal tools for developers. I think of BuddyPress as a developer's tool, in the same way that you might think of jQuery as a tool, a library for building other things. That's how I think of BuddyPress. So if you are a developer and you're wondering just how to leverage BuddyPress in your project more generally, that's something that I would love to talk to you about. So I'm at your disposal.
Boom Gurgis is your 12-step program to open source contributions. I like where this is going.
This is great. BuddyPress. Check it out. Well, along with BuddyPress release, we also have a WordPress release that's going to drop right around the same time as the new version of BuddyPress. So WordPress 3.9 Beta 2 came out on the 20th, just a few short days ago. So lots of bug fixes, some updates. Definitely keep testing. Again, if you're wanting to get involved in an open source project, in my opinion, betas are one of the best time because kind of diving into bugs, maybe fixing a couple little issues here and there is a great way to kind of get familiar with how, you know, to submit patches and work with Track and SVN and all the various setups. So, Boone, I'm curious with WordPress 3.9, Beta 2 coming out, BuddyPress 2.0 about to drop. What do you test it against? I mean, I've got to be testing against the new 3.9 to make sure there's no major issues, and you're obviously, I'm assuming, still testing against 3.8. I mean, how does that work? Has there ever been a release like this where they're basically going to drop really probably within a week or so of each other?
I think it's happened before. We don't try to do it, but we also don't necessarily try not to do it. We always try to build... So my philosophy on this is that we should be trying to support as far back as reasonably possible with BuddyPress. I think with BuddyPress 2.0, we are officially supporting 3.6 and greater. So we test against a lot of things. So the first thing is we do integrated testing, integration testing with Travis. So we have a Travis repo hooked up to our GitHub mirror of our SVN repo. Pretty sweet. But we're testing on a matrix against versions of WordPress that go back several versions. So we're doing automated testing with our unit test suite back a couple of versions. We do manual testing back a couple versions as well. I do all my regular day-to-day testing against WordPress trunk usually, which I just update every couple days. But if we build in things that take advantage of new features in WordPress, we build it in a way that degrades gracefully. Like, for instance, there's a new feature in BuddyPress 2.0 that uses the Heartbeat API to tell you whether or not there are new activity items awaiting you since you first loaded the activity page. Now, this is a feature that was just introduced in, what, like 3.7 or 3.8? But we do it in such a way that if you're running an earlier version of WordPress, it just doesn't load at all. It doesn't. It's not as if it breaks your site. So we always try to do
gracefully.
That. Yeah, this is the elegant way to do things. So we try to be as elegant as possible. I mean, I do come from Wisconsin, a state well known for its.
If nothing else, an elegant state. I mean, what do you think, Wisconsin? I think it's elegant.
Yeah, you sure do.
That's so
big, fat, man. Elegant people. Yeah.
Cheat.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, segue that one, Dre.
That's not going to happen. So, you know, we're talking about development life cycles, new releases on the BuddyPress front, WordPress as well, hopefully somewhere around the same time frame in mid-month April. But at the same time, there's an article that was just dropped in WP Tavern around helping contribute to the new official WordPress developer resource. Have you guys had an opportunity to check out that post or anything around the new WordPress developer resource by testing code references even? That's what they're looking for. What's going on here?
Yeah, I've been testing it fairly thoroughly because I've been on one other project that I've been doing internally for BuddyPress is a inline documentation sweep. So we have had very little inline documentation, and now we have very much inline documentation, all doc blocks. So I've been testing along with WP Nice. Parser, the plugin that's being used to populate the new developer .wordpress.org, mm-hmm. To make sure that we're going to be able to, as soon as developer.wordpress.org goes live, we're going to immediately start work on getting our own version for BuddyPress that just generates automated documentation based on the inline docs. So it's a really sweet project, and I'm really excited to see it going forward. I think it's going to be a huge leap for WordPress and for all of the other projects like BuddyPress that get to benefit from those tools because, you know, the WordPress codex has served us well, but it is... I think this new system is really going to be a lot more efficient. It's going to be a lot more in line with the documentation for other projects that you're probably familiar with, like the PHP documentation or the jQuery documentation that we all know and love. You know, it's organized in a certain sort of way. It's structured in a way. We have curated parts and then we have user contributed sections. And I think moving toward that with WordPress and BuddyPress, it's going to be really great. So I'm super excited about it.
Man, we're getting all growed up.
Yeah, this is awesome. Do you see this as being a potential replacement for the codex at some point, or do you think they'll both kind of live in harmony together forever?
I don't think they'll live in harmony forever. I think there's going to be a transition period, and I think that much of the developer-focused stuff is going to be moving to the new dev hub, to the new developer.wordpress.org. Some of the user-facing stuff may continue to live on the codex or find a new home.
That's two different. That's the two distinct audiences. I think the codex is trying to kind of serve dual purpose now, I would agree that heading towards the developer hub makes sense on the dev-heavy stuff, but I think a bit of segmentation there may make sense to reduce any confusion from an end user or a developer, for that matter, maybe kind of misconstruing what's happening there with content that's geared at significantly different audiences.
This is great. I mean, you can go to Rark's site and actually see it kind of in action. If you want to get a sense of what's coming, but it's there's a great article on WP Tavern which we'll have in the show notes so you can check out that has links to all these and definitely has some items listed where they need help testing, fixing the parser and different issues, working on the code reference, helping finish off the handbook themes. And I would assume soon they're going to roll this right out to the developer.wordpress.org.
I think so. And if you're interested in getting involved in that article on WP Tavern, there's a link over to make.wordpress.org, which has got a good dialogue going around folks wanting to get involved. So go make sure to check that out. We'll have it in the show notes after the show. Holy cow, that went entirely too fast, which I'm a little sad about because this is by far one of my favorite shows in the history of the best WordPress podcast on earth. Upcoming events, we've got some cool stuff coming up, but before we head there, Bradford, why don't we head over and check out some Bart tricks.
Let me show you a Bart trick.
Brad. Booyaka, boonyaka. You see what I did there? Man, who's got a bar trick today?
Boom!
I'll start.
Goes the dynamite.
Well, here I'm going to drop in my my link into the chat. So yesterday it was announced that the source code for the original MS-DOS and Word for Windows was made public. I am really looking forward to checking this out. I mean, we don't think of the source code for these sorts of tools being readily available, and maybe this is reading assembly code is probably not what we're really into, but I'm really looking forward to playing around with this, and I think it's very cool that they're doing this for historical reasons. So
I didn't think it could get any better. It just did. I'm stumbling over my words. This is fabulous.
DOS. I actually heard there's some funny comments, and as you would expect as a developer, some funny comments and some various little Easter eggs hidden throughout the code. So that would be interesting to look through. We'll definitely have to set aside a whole weekend. I'm sure the wife will love that today.
Well, dude, I can see a WordPress plugin coming out of this, right? I mean, can you somehow
DOS on your...
exactly.
Hey, Brad, I think the week of WordCamp Philly, maybe we get together and geek out on some of the...
That's going to be... I'm going to have to get a few more bottles of Johnny Walker, I think, to get through
this, that has to be one of the best bar tricks ever as well. Man, Boone, you're just setting the standard here.
Yeah. Why? We said before the show, why has this not happened sooner? It's ridiculous.
Really?
I'm not sure, but... yeah, that's pretty awesome. So I actually have a bar trick, which is sort of a self-plug, but Macworld starts tomorrow, I believe, is the first official day. Yes, it is. And Macworld has an event called worldiworld.com to do a six about to break competition, which are six startups that they felt are about to break out and really kind of grow and explode on the scene. And AppPressor, which is a project that... I'm one of the partners on, was actually chosen to be one of the six about to break, along with some other really cool startups. But what really excites me is the fact they're going to get a five-minute presentation on stage at Macworld to kind of demo the product and the startup or whatever the service is in front of the Macworld crowd. So I think, I don't know if this is the first time. I got to believe this might be the first time that WordPress has been represented on Macworld, and the fact that it's represented in a way that it's using WordPress to build native apps, I think, is amazing. So it's kind of getting, it's going to help kind of spread that word that WordPress is, it's not a blogging platform. WordPress, it can pretty much do whatever you want. It can do endless amounts of things. We all know, but a lot of the, a lot of the community or the world and tech world maybe does not. So I think this is helping kind of spread that message. So I'm excited. They're going up live tomorrow. They're going to pick a winner at the event. Cross your fingers. It'll be AppPressor. But it looks to be pretty cool.
Congrats to you and the team there, Scott Bollinger, and everybody else involved. Yes. I think it's pretty slick. If you haven't had the opportunity to check it out, actually, Dreadcast in the App Store has its own app. It was created with AppPressor, so make sure to go download.
You can have Dread in your pocket everywhere you go.
Oh man, yeah. Is that Dread in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Always Dread. Trust
with
me.
That said, I have my own. Bar trick here, and it's a quick post put out by Post Status here this last week on who's hiring in WordPress. It was kind of funny. It came out on a tweet. Brian Krogsgaard put it out, and within seconds, it was just blowing up with comments. There's a lot of people hiring right now, so if you're looking for work, including security, I think WDS is hiring. There's a lot of work out there.
Everybody.
And just a lot of
movement. Everybody is hiring. That's the
go check this post out. There's a lot of cool job recs that were posted there. So if you're looking for WordPress related work, there's definitely no shortage of it. Actually, one of the things that happens at WordCamps, you see a lot of people looking for talent. And there's a few camps coming up. I know that Brad, you and I will be at WordCamp Miami, May 9th through the 11th. Potential Dread. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll get
so sunburned. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Cabana's on the beach. It's going to be pretty legit. There will be a podcast panel. I believe you're also speaking on another subject. I'll be speaking about security that weekend. Beyond that, June 7th through the 8th, you've got WordCamp Philly. There's going to be another Dreadcast live performance there, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. We have a call for speakers, so if you're interested in coming to Philly, you want to speak, definitely get your name in.
Hint, hint, Boone. You got any upcoming events there, Mr. Boone?
Yeah, well, actually, the weekend of I couldn't make WordCamp Miami due to the Mother's Day conflict, But I am going to make WordCamp Connecticut, which is that same weekend.
Nice.
So if you are in the Northeast, I recommend that you check it out. It's going to be totally banging.
Beautiful, bloody beautiful. I can dig it.
Did you just get British on us? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. That was terrible.
Turn off your British filter.
Yeah, that's got to go. Boom. Man, a pleasure. Wonderful show all together. We really appreciate you coming on board for episode 038. Where can people find you? If they want to come chat with you or check out some of the stuff that you're posting about or working on.
So I'm on Twitter at Boone, B-O-O-N-E. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet. My blog is... you can find my blog and my website at boone.gorg.es, boone.gorg.es, another very sweet thing. And if you need to get in touch with me, you can email me at boone.buddypress.org. And if you email me at that address, then I'm going to expect at least one patch to BuddyPress from you. Otherwise, I'm going to delete your email.
That is way to motivate, folks. I can dig it. Well, we really appreciate you coming on board. Bradford, anything from you, big guy?
Yes, sir. Twitter, Williams, B-A.
Well, that was easy.
That's all I got.
At Dremeda, D-R-E-M-E-D-A, if you want to find me. I'm the doctor, and this is the Red on the other end of the mic here for the Dread, episode 038 with Mr. Boone. I appreciate it, brother. Have a good one, folks. Booyah. We're out.
See ya.
Booyah. There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus some new guest hosts next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Dread.